say praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Wonderful. Well, have you enjoyed yourself so far? It isn't over. You know, a lot of times we'll get towards the last service and it's almost like the service is over and we're apologizing. No, we've come to the crescendo, right? So you should be in greater expectation, right? And if you have a need or anything at all that you put before the Lord, it's His desire to meet that need. It's His desire to make Himself known, to make Himself real amongst us. It's His word. So let's just agree with Him tonight. Let's let our faith reach up a little bit higher and press and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm reporting to duty, and I'm operating according to Your word. Now you said, God likes you to remind Him of His word. And in the process, you're preaching to yourself. It comes out of your mouth, back into your ears, right? And then you almost start believing it. Oh, you believe it, right? Amen. Blessed be His wonderful name. So what an honor it is to take Him at His word tonight. So we're going to change the order of the service here in just a moment. But before we do, you know, these things don't just happen by accident. And the smoother these kind of meetings go with all the activities, the smoother it goes, the easier it looks. And the less you think went into it, right? But it's actually the opposite. The more that went into it, the smoother it goes, right? So things have went very smoothly. Amen. And because of that, there was a lot of effort that went into it. And so I don't want us to bypass this opportunity to give thanks to those that have put their shoulder behind the wheel and have labored to make these meetings special. So, in particular, they're not, we have these musicians up here tonight, but there are others that are out there that have been performing, or not performing, it's a bad choice of words, have been laboring. They've been doing the opposite of that. They've been laboring. And so let's just give them a hand tonight. And then there's that whole food scene. I don't even know. I can't even begin to imagine how many people were involved in that. But that went very smoothly, and it was very delicious. And we'll shed the weight later. All the sisters, brothers, whoever was involved in that, we'd sure like to just call you out by name. But we'll, for the sake of time, we just want to thank each and every one of you and give you a hand. And our deacons have been working tirelessly, and trustees. You know, a lot of times you never know what takes place in a meeting, backed up toilets, and, you know, I don't even want to speak it out. Anyway, they've done their duty in meetings many times. And our trustees, our deacons, those that have been cleaning up and greeting people, we thank you tonight as well. Our song leaders. And of course, we are eternally grateful for the ministry that's come, not just those that have spoke in the meetings, but those that came to be the Amen Corner, that they change the service, just as you do. They change the service, and they're getting behind the preacher, and we greatly appreciate that, and we trust that we'll hear from them at other times, and if the Lord would tarry. And we went out, there hadn't been a good opportunity to just get a group picture, and so we thought, well, we better do it while we have the chance. And so we got all the brothers and went out the front door, and I told the brothers when we were standing out there, I said, if anybody asks where we're going, just tell them we quit. Here's some hallelujahs. Anyway, let's give a hand to our ministering brothers and their wives. Thank you. Amen, amen. So, are you ready for the word? Yeah. I am sure ready, and I'm in expectation tonight. We thoroughly enjoyed the part two of the message this morning, and we believe that that is the message. And our brother very skillfully, as a seasoned veteran and warrior and minister of the gospel, he very skillfully broke that down and made it simple, taking it straight out of the message and the Bible. And so we greatly appreciate that, and we ask that you would take it to heart. And all of the services have had their purpose, right? So the last night and this morning is to tell you the what. You know, it's to put that vision before us. This is what's supposed to happen. This is what's supposed to be happening. This is what we're supposed to walk into. And then we've had other services that are telling you how. And then services that are telling you that, if you don't empty out, the pitfalls and the things, the mechanics of it, right? If you want this, you're going to have to get rid of that, right? Oh, I want this. Well, let go of that. Well, I want... You got to empty out, right? Amen. So all of these services have just... I just believe the Lord has been in every bit of it. And if you just take these things to heart and just ask the Lord to make them live, make them real. We don't want to we don't approach special meetings as, well, I want to have a good shouting time. Well, that's good, but what will cause the shouting time is the Word coming and being quickened to you and then changing you, being lived, right? That's something to shout about. So it's something that's eternal, something that's not just temporary, but it's eternal. So we appreciate all the things of the Lord, but His Word has preeminence, and His Word has the power, and it is changing us from glory to glory. So tonight we're thrilled to have our brother Manuel with us once again, and I'm not going to say anything because I don't want it to be misinterpreted. We just love him. Let us put it that way. We just love him to death, and Amen. We want him to take his liberty. He's barely got any throat left. He's an all-or-nothing kind of a guy, and he put everything he had into it, and about lost his voice, and we've been praying for him. So you just pray that God will carry him over the finish line here tonight, and that that he would be blessed as well. Amen. So as our brother comes tonight, he counts the stars. One and all, amen. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shores. He sees each sparrow that falls. Made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all. Step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name, when I'm overwhelmed by the pain, and can't see the light of day, well I know I'll be just fine. Every
Aren't you glad he knows your name? Amen. I'm certainly glad he knows my name. Appreciate the musicians. God bless you. Just like Brother Doug said, it's no doubt been a lot of work that's gone into these meetings. So we just want to thank all those that participated in every which way, all the way to the end of the night, cleanup crew. God bless you. The food, everything was wonderful. You guys have just been such a blessing to us, me and my family. So I pray the Lord will richly, richly bless you guys. If you would, this evening, I want to turn into the scriptures. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 22. Apologize for my voice this evening. You just have to bear with me. We'll see how far we can get. We just might read the scripture and praise the Lord all night long. Amen. That'd be fine, right? That's what we're here for, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, man, I forgot my glasses. See, Sister Shannon pulls her glasses off that fast. Thank you, brother. Oh, here comes. Well, here, you can take these, brother. We appreciate it. I think. Amen. I don't recommend getting old. Let's just go in a rapture. Matthew chapter 22. We're going to read just one verse there, verse 4. Red letters, Jesus speaking, saying, "Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner." Somebody say prepared. Prepared. "I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready."
Hallelujah.
Aren't you glad he didn't say some things are ready? Hey, a couple things are ready. You know, hey, the rapture's taking place. There's a wedding supper, and there's only a few things that are ready. No, he's saying all. Everything's ready, church. "I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." I would, if you could, turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll just be doing just a little bit of reading here, if that's okay. I have you on your feet. First Kings chapter 17. And we want to start at verse 1. "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word."
Amen.
Now, was that Elijah speaking, or is that God speaking through a prophet? Well, it's amazing how we could believe it here in the Bible here, but we had a prophet in our day speaking, right? "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwelleth there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So he arose and went into Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me. Fetch me. Somebody say, Fetch me. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Somebody say first. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let us bow our heads. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're in such amazement of your tender mercies to your bride, Lord God. Lord, your amazing grace, Father, that you've shed forth upon us, Lord God. Lord, a double portion of grace in our day. Grace, grace, Lord God. Lord, knowing, Father, the tremendous things that we would be coming up against, Father. Lord, the world not falling apart, but already falling apart. Lord, this world it's too much, Lord God. Father, we stand back many a days just wondering, Lord God, how much more that you could take, Father, seeing these things that are taking place, Lord. But Lord, your tender mercies, Lord God, to your bride, Father. Lord, you love her so much, Lord God, that you would send your very best, Lord God. Father, it would be you, Lord God. Lord, your word, Lord Jesus. And Father, tonight, Lord God, we admit here, Lord, behind the pulpit, Lord, we're nothing, Father. Lord, without you, Father, we don't even have air to breathe, Lord. Lord, there's nothing without you, Father. And Lord, we pray for thy mighty presence, Lord, for you said in your word where two or three are gathered in your name that you would be here in our midst, Lord God. And Father, we're the people on this earth that are crazy enough to believe it with all of our heart. Father, we believe it, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we know it, Father. We've seen you, Father.
Amen.
Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you'd bless the preachers that have spoken, Father. Amen. Give an amazing blessing, Lord God. They've poured their hearts out, Lord Jesus. And Father, we've come to, Lord God, not the final service, but the ending service here, Father. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, one more time that you would come, Lord. And that your Holy Spirit would take complete control as we surrender everything that we are, Lord God, to you. Lord, our hearts are open for your word, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would come and speak to us, Lord. Brood over your people, Holy Spirit, tonight, Father. Lord, and bless them is my prayer, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this evening. God has been so good to us, and we trust him with all of our heart and everything that we are. Beautiful service. Our brother, first time I got to meet Brother Rashan from India, we got to see him, and you know, it's just amazing how the Lord's working through him. These definitely thoughts we're going to have to take home and ponder over them. And I certainly appreciate them. And, you know, he mentioned certain things about maybe a man in his duty and doing the right thing. And, you know, certainly, you know, we recognize, I'm sure Brother Doug and the other pastors here, you know, every Wednesday, every Sunday, we're preparing, we're praying, we're doing the best that we can. That way that the Lord would just come and speak to us and speak to us and through us to you. And no doubt, you know, we believe in, and it is, like the brother said, a good thing. But I never really realized that we had to repent from good things. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in something else that we forget certain priorities. And they're good priorities. And it's scriptural what he's saying. I was thinking about Moses, and one time how that Moses was so caught up with the people, so busy doing good things. And then he got home, and his wife, praise God for a good wife, allowed him to know he got some foreskins thrown at him. And then we realized that there's more to be given, more of the Lord to take in. And so when I get home, I'm taking a long vacation. I'm going into the mountains, and I'm just going to just take it in with the Lord. You know, you get tired. You don't realize it had to take somebody to come and say, you know, hey, you're doing a good thing, but you need to spend some time with the Lord.
Yes.
Did anybody else take that?
Yes.
That's not just the ministers, but that's parents.
Yes.
Right? That's all of us. So I really, really appreciated that message. It really spoke to my heart. And we know that God has a purpose, and we realize that, and he has a plan, and we've heard that he has a strategy, right? And we find out that it's not just God working on one end, but we find out that there's two ends. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
How many knows that God works on both ends? And so that means you have a role to play. So this evening, I'm just winding just a little bit down this evening, and I want to kind of just take you into a little walk with me, if we would, into the scripture. And we're going to take a little walk, maybe just a little drama, to where we could, at some point, we pray that the Lord would show you where you are in this drama, and you would find your place in it, and wherever that you are, and we could actually live out this great drama. And that it's not just, as the brother would say, a doctrine in a book or something there, or just a dead letter, but that it would live. Amen. So that's what we want to do this evening. So we realize that what we're reading here, that there's a daughter of God that is in need. And so we know that when there's a need, that God supplies all of our needs. If there's a deficiency, God will supply whatever we need so that we won't be deficient, because our Father loves us and he wants us to have the best. Amen. So we realize that in doing that, he actually uses human flesh, what is called a fivefold ministry. Now we realize that there's been great attacks in this last day on a fivefold ministry. But we realize that that's God's plan, and God changes not. So he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we understand that, but he takes it, and we find out he takes a preacher, and he comes out and he preaches to seek God first. And when we know, when we put God in first place, we find out that everything else works out just so great. Amen. Amen. So that being said this evening, I want to start our little drama off by a message Brother Brandon preached called Be Certain of God. And I'm just going to read just a little bit here tonight, and you'll have to pay attention if you would. And Brother Brandon begins by saying, it must have been a terrible morning. He said, dry and hot. He said, there hadn't had no rain for 3 years and 6 months. He said, it was so dry and hot till the world was ready to blaze on fire. And we get to thinking about our time, how dry and how hot and how everybody's worried about global warming. But we recognize that this world is ready to blaze on fire. But he goes on to say, he said, the people were starving in the streets and there was a cry everywhere. And we look upon that and we say, well, there was a drought and the people were hurting. The people were crying. They were crying out. They needed food and they needed water. And he's telling us that they were starving. And we look at that and we find out, Brother Branham says, all this had been brought on, he said, because of the moral decay of the nation. So in other words, the nation had something to do with what was taking place. There was a drought there. It had been, Brother John, had been brought on. People were starving and people were thirsty and dying because of the moral decay of a nation. Now notice Brother Bam goes on to say Israel was loved of God. Can we say amen? Israel was loved of God. Without a doubt, God loved Israel. But then he goes on to say, but when they got out of the will of God, the enemy took them over. He loved them, but they got out of the will of God and the enemy came and he took them over. Then he goes on to tell us, Brother Bram says, God loves his church. How many can say amen? God loves you. He loves his church. But notice he says, but when we get out of the will of God, he says, the enemy takes the church over. And Ahab, who was the king of Israel at that time, and to my thinking, Brother Bram said, was the most wicked king Israel ever had. And so we, you know, you do the statistics and you say, well, how wicked was Ahab? I mean, he must have been this man just mowing people down and just tearing things apart. Just destroying and cutting and maiming. But Brother Bram goes on to say, he said, to my thinking, the most wicked king Israel ever had. Now he tells us why. He says, because he married an idolater. He was the most wicked king that Israel ever had because of who he married. Now you could get really quiet on me now. But it's the truth. Notice he said, because he married an idolater, Jezebel, and she was a sinner. Now notice he goes, and then in this wedding, he said, instead of marrying among his own people, he went over and married a sinner, an idolater, a worshiper of idols. He married Jezebel, and she was not a believer. And then he makes this profound statement, and he says that no believer should ever marry an unbeliever. And it's scriptural. It wasn't his own idea. And it wasn't because he was mean or the Bible's mean, but there's repercussions when you do these things. Notice he says, no believer should ever marry an unbeliever under no circumstances. Somebody say, preach that, brother. Notice he said, should always marry believers. But he said, but Ahab done this evil thing. And you young people don't think that it's an evil thing. He said, well, this evil thing, the most wicked king, because he married Jezebel. But remember, there's repercussions that come with that. Sometimes back home, it's a very Catholic state. You'll get a believer says, well, you know, I'll go out. There's not so many believers, and I'll go and I'll bring somebody to church, and that's okay. But let me tell you, you can't make an unbeliever into a believer. Only God can do that. And let me tell you, it'll be a hard life. And it'll be all right in the beginning. Everything will be fine. But then it comes, then you have children. And then before you know it, the one that never even went to church, never even practiced their religion, comes back and says, no, now it's time. We're going to have to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit as a child, an infant baptism. And then the struggle begins. Oh, church, we've seen it too many times. And then the kids are confused. There's a struggle there. If you don't believe that, my sister said, if anybody would ever ask you something about that, brother man, have them call me. Notice he said he fell for what she looked like instead of what she was. I'm getting somewhere. But we got to set a foundation so you can find yourself in here somewhere. This is not a Bible story. This is Bible reality. And notice he said, so many people make that same mistake today. And notice, and he says, she brought idolatry into the nation. Among the people. But notice here, I was taking a little back, Brother Ben. He just didn't leave it among the people. But now notice where the idolatry crept into. He said, the priests. He said, their ministers. He said, had fallen victim to this great popular demand. So notice what the marriage did. It started incorporating idolatry into a nation. And one by one, the people, the ministry, everything started going in that direction. No wonder it was the most evil king that there was. And Brother Bram tells us it's something similar to today. He said all the people agreed that it was right for them to do that because the government, the king, and the queen endorsed it. And so he goes on and he's telling us things that they've endorsed in our day. And he said, and they got alcohol and they made it legal. And the people thought that it was all right to get drunk. Why? Because of the government. Now we notice nothing's changed and it's just moving forward. Back home where we're from, they legalized marijuana. And let me tell you, the people now, and even some Christians starting to think, well, you know, they legalized this, so it must be all right. And I've had people to come to me and say, well, Brother Manuel, it's helping people. Marijuana's a healer. And I said, only Jesus Christ is a healer. But do you see the deception that it brings, the thoughts, the government, right? And we know that this nation has been indicted. Yeah. Come on, church. Yeah. We can't even pray for it anymore. We love it and we love to live here, but let me tell you, church, it's under an indictment because of the immorality and the things that have taken place. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, so this nation was really corrupted, he said, and God had sent judgment upon it. Notice he said, all the preachers had bent under the heavy load. The preachers had bent. Here it came, and who was the one to bend? The preachers started to bend. It was a heavy load for them. Because what they were preaching was not popular. wasn't something great and amazing to the nation. In fact, they hated that kind of preaching. And today people hate hard preaching. But our prophet said we need it. He said we need more John the Baptist. Now, not everyone could be, right? We appreciate the variety that God has given us, and we accept it all.
Amen.
So the preachers had been under the heavy load. Notice the corruption where it was starting. He said, all the preachers, and I underlined that word all. He said, all the preachers. All the preachers had been under the heavy load. Notice why. He gives us the reason why. He says, because the members of the church had forced them to do things. Now, do you realize where the pressure came from? Come on, church. It came from within. It was the very members of the church that were putting pressure on the ministry. And the ministry in that time, because of finances, of social stature, whatever it is, they bent under the heavy load. So I say, God, give us some more preachers like Elijah that'll take that word, that'll preach that word. Because God's still sending preachers. You're blessed to have a good pastor. You're blessed to have a good pastor. And sometimes people think, well, he's hard or he's tough. But let me tell you, if he doesn't, the people will get him. And then they'll mold him to the pastor that they want. And it'll be a pastor. And before you know it, corruption will come in. Death will set in. He must toe the line. I haven't talked to Brother Doug in 2 years. Don't look at me like that. This is everywhere. Notice the preachers were buckling. They were bending under the pressure. But it wasn't the pressure out there. It wasn't some other kind of pressure. But it was the pressure that was taking place right within the congregation. The members of the church had caused the preachers to come and say, oh, well, I'll give a little here, or I'll buckle a little there. Hallelujah. Brother Brad said, I feel sorry for a preacher that's got no more God about him than to let his congregation dictate him. Somebody say, help me, Lord. Don't let it be me. I don't want to start no corruption in this church, any church that I go to. You pastors, Brother Flynn, you don't have nobody that tries to tell you what to do. Could you imagine this many people telling the pastor what to do? And this one wants this and this one. It'll drive him crazy. And then if they can't get to Brother Doug, then they go to Sister Jennifer and try to drive Sister Jennifer crazy. And say, well, you know, you can go ahead and tell Brother Doug this and tell Brother Doug that. Praise the Lord. But he said, I feel sorry for that preacher. Notice he says, and get him off in a rut. Did you know you have the ability to put your pastor in a rut? If you keep trying to impose something other than what the Lord has led upon his heart, we put our preachers into a rut. And then we wonder, oh, there must be something wrong. I don't know what's going on. I can feel it. Well, you can't feel it because it's you. Notice this. He says the gospel's been handled too much now with kid gloves. Church, it's later than we think. The time for church members, the time for these things, those days are over. I had a pastor tell me once, he said, Brother Manuel, be careful. Don't be how you preach to the foolish virgin in my church. They're the one that pays the bills. I'll tell you, I'd rather have two or three Holy Ghost filled members and let God pay the bills. Oh, Lord. I'm feeling charging up. I said, my voice is acting up. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be all right. Notice he said all the pastors had given in. And you know, our brother was talking, saying not every message church. But he's right. Out there, all those doctrines. You know, when we come in from the Catholic Church, we come into a church, a message church, and my sister said, she says, I don't even know if I should be here. She said, look at all those ladies with long hair. She said, they're all holy. I don't even feel like I should be here. But then we stood there for a while. Come on. And we realized we all needed help. Notice he says they had a social gospel, no doubt. So in other words, they were preaching these doctrines. They were preaching what our brother was talking about. I had no idea of all these names. And if I put one out there and it hurts you, I don't know what to say. But when he came in, they said, Brother Man, you got to watch out for Return. You got to watch out for Two Souls. You got to watch out for Perusia. You got to watch. I said, where do I go? So we just started getting in and say, you know what? We're just going to look at the message and see what God tells us right here. We don't got to go back there or there or there or there or there. Because everybody seems it's happening over there. We got to go over there. Well, they got it going on over there. But they have trials and heartaches just like you do. Everywhere. Notice he said, there was a little old prophet in the land in that day, and he didn't bow down to any of their idols. Amen. For he knew Jehovah was a holy God. Amen. How many know Jehovah is a holy God? Amen. Notice he said he required holiness and cleanliness and decency. Amen. I'm not preaching law to you. That's just the love that we have. When we have that love our brother talked about, then we are decent. We do bring that holiness by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. But yet God still requires it. If not, he wouldn't have given it to us. Notice he said, and he know that Jehovah could not change, and if Jehovah to bring the children out of Israel, he had to cleanse them and sanctify them. And when they walked disorderly according to his commandments, he placed judgment upon them. He know Jehovah was the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. And then he goes on to say, and Jezebel hated him. Well, we said, well, no wonder. No wonder she hated him, because everything that God required, she was on the opposite end. And whenever good preaching comes and someone's hating on it, well, then you kind of know where the end they're at. Because it doesn't matter who vessel it comes through. If it's the word, it's the word, it's the word. You know, back home in Espanol, they say, oh, all these people are just haters. Everyone's a hater. And then some young kid I hired brought a truck on it and said, locally hated. And I'm like, what in the world does that even mean? He said, everyone that I know, they all look at my truck and they're haters. They hate it. And you know what? Some people have friends like that. No matter what you have or anything that good happens to you, they're just hating on it and hating on it. I'm telling you, the time for hating is over, church. But Jezebel hated him. And all her company hated him. Who did they hate? Elijah. And we see the same thing in our day. There's a lot of haters of the prophet of the day. But it doesn't matter. He stayed with the word. He stayed with the message. Notice he said, and when he walked disorderly to the commandments, he said, he know Jehovah was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Notice what he said. Jezebel hated him, but God loved him. Amen. You know, it doesn't matter who hates you, so long as God loves you. If God be for us, well then who could be against us? But notice there was one in that day who stood. And Brother Bam said, God, he said, give us more Elijahs in this cruel, evil day of corruption. Yeah. Notice he says, that's not, he said, scared to preach the truth. Right. Church, this isn't a meal ticket. Right. My wife, my family's in this. We believe it with all of our heart. Amen. We're hanging our soul on it. Amen. This ain't a game. This ain't for. This is for keeps. This is for real. Yes, sir. You know those out there that are saying, oh, and those cultist preachers that are, I believe everything that the prophet said. Yes. In some way or another, it was helped my life. Right. Hallelujah. Notice he's talking about holiness. He says, without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord. Amen. You must be cleansed by your sins by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Do we still believe in the blood of Jesus Christ? Notice he says, well, in talking about Jezebel, he said, but there was another woman in the land. And this other woman, Elijah didn't know this other woman. They didn't know each other. And Brother Bram said, now there was a woman in the land. And he said, neither one of these people knew each other. He said, but she must have been an honorable woman. She must have been the type of woman that Elijah was a man. Don't miss that. Right. This woman that Elijah was going to, she was an honorable woman. It couldn't have been just any woman out there. And she was the same type of woman as Elijah was a man. So in other words, we look and we say, well, Elijah was a great man. Elijah was a mighty man. So then if this woman was made out of the same cloth, well, what about this woman? She had to be an honorable woman. And today, what about this woman? She's made out of the same cloth. God wants to send Elijah anywhere else. So even now we're realizing why we're here, why we're gathered together. It wasn't by mistake. It wasn't by accident. The body had to be here. And God had to send Elijah to an honorable woman. Oh, church, if the devil tries to put you down, you need to tell him to go home. Oh, what a special woman that you are. Jesus sent his prophet to anybody. If God sends his angel out, he just doesn't send it to anybody. We know one time there was a man named Zechariah and he was praying and they had a need for a child. And God sent his angel out. And Elizabeth, just to let her know that she was going to have a child. So how amazing was Elizabeth? He wouldn't have just sent it anywhere. They were prayed up. They were ready. Their house was clean.
Amen.
Amen.
God just didn't send his angel anywhere. He sends her to an honorable lady. We know, Brother Preston, the Virgin Mary. God sent an angel over there. Come on, church. She's another honorable lady. So we realize this lady here, how honorable, how amazing that she was. Notice he said he would have never chosen an immoral woman to entertain his prophet. So when the devil tells you you're not worthy, you need to tell him, yeah, I don't know what you're thinking. Come on, church. I hope you're catching that. Notice he says, talk about running around with the world and to flirt with the world. And then expect to see angels. Church, if we're out there flirting with the world, and then we come to God's services expecting to see angels, we're expecting miracles in our homes. Things these days have crept back into the homes and people are wondering, why isn't something taking place in my home? Why do I have to read it on the internet that this miracle took place at this church? Or this miracle took place here? What about us? But let me tell you, clear out, like our brothers were saying. Now I'm the kind of preacher, I don't have a scalpel. I'm not a heart surgeon, but I can take that spade. And we can dig. I'll challenge you tonight, if you want to see miracles and signs and wonders in your home, with your kids, with your children, get in there and start cleaning it out. Clean it out, church. Young man, get in there. Get on your phone and get in and clean it out. It's junk. It's hindering you. It's hindering me. How many want to see miracles in their life? Amen. Signs and wonders. Amen. Not just hear about them. Amen. It's nice to hear about them, but what about me? Amen. What about my wife? What about my family? Amen. I believe that's what these brothers have been preaching. The time for games is over. Amen. Young men and old men spending hours at a time on a video game on their phone. I guess I only deal with that back home. Instagram. I'm not saying all of those things are bad, or you know, but when you look, where's your time going?
Amen.
Guilty. Right? I'll be sitting there, my wife will say, well, you're not even paying attention to me. You've been on that phone all night. I said, well, I'm looking at you. Do you want to deal with these prayer requests? But our brother's over there telling us, well, you know what? Those things are good, but we need to find time for our wife. Amen. For our children. Amen. For our families. Amen. It's taught me a lesson, Brother Rashawn. I need to take some time. You think you're doing so good. I guess just me. Notice he says, talk about running around with the world and flirt with the world and expect to see angels and miracles done. He said, it's out of God's program. You must live right. Clean up the house. Clean up your habits. Clean up the things of the world. Get rid of your cards. Get rid of your worldly associations. Notice he says, and get ready. So it's not clean up and just get ready and wait. Get ready, he says, when these things take place, get ready. He said, and then God will send an angel. He said, and then the angel of God can speak and say, fear not, it is I. When you clean out these things and you prepare and you repent of the bad and the good and you get ready, what happens? God comes on the scene and you'll be so afraid because you haven't seen him in so long. Say, Lord, fear not, it is I. I've come to visit you. I've sent my angel over Tucson. And here he is, he's coming to work. And do signs and wonders and miracles. The things that you've been praying for. But we got to put the word first. It's not that we want the miracles and signs. We want the word and those things follow. Put God first, church. He said, then things take place. But notice this widow woman. We go in and we find out, Brother Bram says, she lived true. She had lived true. He said she was an honorable woman. Because she hadn't, he would have never sent Elijah to her. So we already know the quality of her. He said she lived clean. He said she lived decent. You know that this widow woman had already, Brother Rabbit said that every requirement that God required, she did it. Everything that God required, this was hers. This she does. It was done. She done it. She was an honorable woman. And sometimes in our life we think, well, Lord, I've done everything you've asked me to do. How many have ever been there? And you're searching through your life. And you're praying and you're praying and you're praying. You're coming back and you're saying, well, Lord, I've done everything. Bunky, I've done everything. Everything that you've asked, that you've required, Lord, that the preachers preached, Lord, that's me. And everything that they said to repent of, I've repented, Lord God. I've done what you've required. Notice Brother Bram said, as she had met every requirement, she lived a clean life. She lived decent. She lived honorable. And she had met all of God's requirements. He said, but it looked like God was silent. Since have you ever prayed and look back into your life and you said, these things have got to change. Something's got to change. Something's got to be different, Lord. Everything that you've asked, I've done, Lord God. And it seemed like God didn't even hear your prayer. There's been so many things that have taken place with my son where I've said, Lord, I need you to take care of this situation. It's too much for me. Did you ever notice sometimes the happiest people are the ones that are hurting the most?
Yes.
They always put on a good facade. But deep down, there's something inside of him that's hurting, and they're looking and they're searching, and they're on their knees, and they're saying, Lord, any requirement, whatever you require, Lord, I'll do. And it almost seems like God never hears your prayers. Amen. Well, this was that widow woman. She had met every requirement from God. Notice he said, but Brother Bram said, but it looked like he was silent. He said, God does that sometimes to test you. To test you and see what kind of reaction that you have. How many can say amen to that tonight? Whatever trial that you're going through, whatever that you're bearing, hermanos, sisters, let me tell you, brother, whatever that it is, God hears your prayer. Amen. He cares for you. But maybe he's sitting back and watching, saying, what are you going to do? I want to see what my son's going to do. I've sent minister after minister, preacher after preacher. I've given him the Holy Ghost. Now it's time for him to make a decision. Amen. Have you noticed that with our young ones growing up, there's only so much that we can hold them and keep them, and we don't want to let them go. We said, I don't want to let them out to that world. And they say, oh, well, this world we can handle. I said, you don't know what's out there. It's horrible. Yes. But at some point, we got to see what they're going to do. Notice he said, the scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How many need a strength renewal tonight? Notice they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But Lord, teach me, Lord. Teach me how to wait for you. Teach me how to hear you. Teach me how to listen, Lord God. Lord, I'm so stubborn. I'm so hard-headed, Lord God. Teach me. Notice he said, the song says, teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, how to wait. You know, our brother is saying, you can't, Brother Doug told you can't outgive God, right? Sometimes he'll take an angel and send you two. You just got to recognize. Thank you, Lord. Amen. But you got to open your eyes to it. Notice he said, teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, how to wait. Get my soul washed in the blood of Calvary. Amen. Meet every requirement. Burn all the bridges. Amen. Burn the bridges and say, now, Lord, nothing in my arms I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Lord, you promised it. Amen. Can you cling to the cross tonight? Amen. So we recognize in this great Bible drama, here you have a widow woman. What is she saying? She says, I'm just ready to, me and my son, we're going to die. If something doesn't take place, we're going to die. How many have ever been in that position? Saying, you know what, Lord, if you don't do something, if something doesn't take place, I'm going to die. My son's going to die. Maybe he's off with drugs or alcohol or whatever it is. Lord, if you don't do something, it's at the point, Lord God. We're at the point. We're at the point of, it's going to be done. We're going to die. And that woman on her knees praying. Say, Lord, we don't even have food. We don't have water. I have this life that I'm taking care of. Right. If something doesn't take place, we're going to perish. And not knowing, because we said God works at both ends. So here she is. She doesn't know what's taking place. But on this other side, we have Elijah. And Elijah's getting fed by the ravens. Oh, come on. That was fast food. That was better than the Uber delivery. And there she's suffering, thinking that God is silent. But God's working over here. And Elijah the prophet, what is he doing? He's eating wonderful meat sandwich. Oh, yeah. And he comes down to the cool brook. Woo, water. But he's noticing that it's getting lower and lower and lower. And no doubt he's wondering, what in the world's going on? Lord, you told me to come up here.
Right.
And I've lived so deliciously here. But let me tell you, a need will call a preacher here. If you have a need, he'll call someone from New Mexico. If you have a need, he'll call someone from India, from Alaska, from Alaska. Do you think they're here by chance? There was something in there that said, oh man, I gotta go. Let me tell you, it's comfortable back home in Española. I don't gotta sweat as much. I don't gotta bite my nails as much. The people know me. The other morning I woke up and said, my goodness, Doug, what am I doing here? My voice has blown. I gave it my all. But then the Lord came over and said, stop your crying. Brother Matthew, you're always crying. And so Elijah's there, happy brother. He's getting fed. The water's coming. All of a sudden, Brother John, it stops. And he's like, what? What? We were taking care of Sister Abby's little sister Savannah for about 2 years. When you guys hadn't seen us, we were all locked down. But God sends these girls. He sends this little one too. And I would say something and she'd go, what? I said, what do you mean, what? And she said, that little voice, Brother Manuel. And I, what? And so we get to a point where Elijah's saying, what? What is this? And in our life, we thought that God was silent. That he didn't hear us. That he only heard Brother so-and-so. That he only heard brother or sister so-and-so. He only heard them, but he wasn't hearing me. But all the time, he was checking to see what you were going to do. Notice the Bible said, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. And Elijah had to ask the question, Lord, why did it stop? He said, because I have a job for you. There's a duty for you to do. You got to go down. There's my daughter. She's praying. It's a life and death situation. Oh, church, we've been through years many times praying for a single thing. And we're still praying, but we're still watching and waiting what the Lord's going to do.
Amen.
You know the story where I preached about my son here. Born without a brain. His mom have to do everything for him. Everything. Why do you think her back's so messed up? He's 30 years old now. We say, Lord, what are you going to do? Lord, we prayed and we asked. And said, what did I do? What did she do? Is there anything? Is there any requirement that we need to do, Lord? Because we'll do it. And then we look to the word and it says, well, Abraham waited 25 years. And sis, we waited 25 years. But it's now 30 years, Brother Doug. But you know what? We're still waiting. Right. Why? Because God is good. Right. Brother, God is good. One day, Jesse's going to be normal again. Yeah. He's going to walk. Right. He's going to talk. Yeah. He's going to hug you. He's going to love you. Yeah. We don't know how long it's going to be. Right. So we prayed. We said, oh, we're blessed. Sister Shannon was going to have another baby. We said, oh, we're blessed. Same thing. All kinds of technical things. And I was able to hold this little one, Amos, for about 12 hours. And he died in my hands. And I said, Lord, do you hear me, Lord? Are you hearing us? But the Lord stepped back and said, son, I'm going to watch to see what you and your wife are going to do. And you know what we said? Praise God in the storms. Praise God in the rain. But Brother Manuel, is it still storm? It is, but God is faithful. I know he is, brother. Whatever that it is. Some of you have been waiting for years. You've been praying. And you thought God didn't hear you. But all the time, he was sending somebody out to preach the word right to your heart. And then, here she was waiting for death to come on the scene. And along comes Elijah walking down because what? It was commanded of the Lord. The Lord commanded him to go down there. What for? One woman. What about our day? We had our Elijah commanded to come down where? Here to Tucson. Where to? An honorable woman. One who's living clean. One who's living decent. One who's ready. And he's ready to do something here. Oh, churches, let go. Learn how to wait. Say, Lord, whatever that you want, whatever that you need, I'm ready, Lord. I know that you're not slack. I know that you hear my prayers. I know that you care about my family. I know that you love my pastor. I know that you love the people here. I know that he loves the people who do the work on the yard, brother. He's not missing that. He sees everything that you do. Brother, he sees all the things that you get no credit for. But what our God sees, he'll reward you, brother. He's a rewarder. So today we're waiting on the Lord and he's here right now. I'm telling you, who has a need right now? Let's stand to our feet. If you have a need right now, lay your hand on somebody right now. Every head bowed in this building tonight. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, every eye closed. Close your eyes. You don't got to see. Lord, you've heard our prayers. Lord, the preaching's gone forth. Lord God, you sent Christ. Lord, you sent Moses. Lord, you sent Elijah. Lord, you sent all the prophets. Lord, you sent everything. You said, come to this marriage supper. Everything is ready. Lord, we're that group who's ready now, Lord. You have it prepared. There's a banquet prepared for us, Lord God. Lord, there's a banquet of healing in the building tonight. Lord, there's a banquet of salvation. Lord, there's a banquet of the Holy Ghost here tonight. There's a Holy Ghost banquet taking place. We're feasting on your word, Lord God. Lord, as we lay our hands on on our brothers and our sisters. Yes. Lord, we ask that you touch them in an amazing way, Lord God. Maybe there'll be healings of friendship, healings of love. Lord, our children, heal them, Lord God. Lord, our young children that are growing up and going to school, Lord God, be with them, Lord God. Give them the Holy Ghost. Lord, let them marry a believer, Lord God. Lord, let our parents go home tonight, clean out their houses, clean everything out. Be prepared, oh God. Father, we just ask in the holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, take complete control. Touch our people tonight, Lord Jesus. All the way in the sound booth, all the way to the back of the building, Lord God. Father, we know you're an amazing God, but nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible, Brother Isaac. There's nothing impossible here tonight. If you can only believe, if you can only believe, all things are possible if you can only believe. Lord, Lord, with our head bowed tonight, Lord, we believe, Lord God. Lord, we believe, Lord, there's ministers in this building that are anointed to pray. Lord God, if anybody has a need, let them come forward. And we'll call the ministers of the church to lay hands on him. Satan, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no preeminence here. You have no authority here. You're nothing but a bluff. You're nothing but a bluffer. You're a scarecrow. We rebuke you. You annoy us here tonight. Be gone out of this building. Let the Holy Ghost brood over the building tonight, oh God. Brood over your people. Oh, hallelujah. In your own way tonight, pray as the musicians come up this evening. Oh, Holy Spirit, don't stop praying. Oh, don't stop praying till you get what you want tonight. I'm telling you, the Lord is here. If you believe he's here, say hallelujah tonight. Glory. Glory. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the things that you've done. Oh, don't you believe him? Don't you believe that he's still healing people today? Don't you believe that everything's ready now? Amen. All you got to do is receive. Amen. Church, your healing's already prepared. Amen. Can you reach out by faith tonight and accept your healing? Amen. Can you reach out for your children? Amen. Can you reach out for your parents tonight? Amen. Can you reach out for someone who left the church? Amen. Can you reach out for someone who's in the church? Amen. Can you reach out for those brothers out there in another doctrine? Can we have the unity that we're preaching tonight, oh God? We love you, Lord. Oh, praise his holy name. Oh, if you have a song, any song, whatever is on your heart, something that we can worship our God and praise our God tonight, because he's wonderful and he's made you wonderful to be able to accept him tonight, oh church. Oh, glory to God. Oh, if we could have our song leader to come up. Oh, brother, sing us a song. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, looking forward to your house, Lord God. A new body, Lord God. One that's free of sickness, Lord. Get us out of this pest house. We're tired of this old world. We're tired of these things that are taking. We're tired of everything that's going on, Lord. It's only you that we want, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise his name. Somebody praise him tonight. Oh, he's worthy. Oh, Lord, you're worthy to be praised. You've we praise your name and we worship you, Lord.